This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
If you build it, they will come. Are we building a field of dreams for the out-of-state transient population here in Montana? You know, yesterday I read the full letter for you on the air here from the Flathead County Commissioners. Basically, the Flathead County Commissioners sent out a powerful open letter to residents concerning the rise in homelessness in the Flathead Valley, and specifically raising concerns that some of these programs are recruiting the interstate transient population to actually move into Montana, to move into Kalispell and into the Flathead Valley. So instead of just taking care of the folks who live here and fall on hard times, that what some of what these programs are doing is basically recruiting people to come here and to then take advantage of us and to take advantage of these programs and cause further problems in our own communities, which makes it harder to help the people that are already here that have fallen on tough times. Anyway, read the full letter for you yesterday. If you go to MontanaTalks.com right now, you'll see this headline: Flathead County Commissioner's powerful open letter on the homeless situation. And so you can read the full letter if you didn't get a chance to hear it live on the air yesterday. And I would say this, too, if some of the representatives from some of these homeless shelters, whether they're in Kalispell or another one elsewhere across the state, if you want to write your own open letter in response as well, I'm happy to share your open letter in response also. But yesterday after this show, as I was typing up this story, I was looking into it a little bit further because, one of the questions I have is, how do we know how many of the people that are taking advantage of these homeless programs are actually Montanans, are actually Flathead Valley residents that came upon tough times and then found themselves in this situation? And then how many of these people, and how do we even determine, how do we know if they're actually people who came here, who are newcomers, who came here to take advantage of these programs? And I found a story and a response from one of these warming shelters that Montana Public Radio put together. And it was very interesting because based off of their own numbers back up and confirm exactly what these Flathead County Commissioners talked about. If the concern is that people are coming into our state, people are coming into places like Kalispell and then taking advantage of that, these programs are basically recruitment zones for transients to come here and live off of us and take advantage of us, it seems that their own numbers back that up here. Now, you guys tell me if I'm wrong here. I'm hearing the music, so we'll take a quick break. I'll share the numbers that they themselves reported on how many people are either new or just showed up that are taking advantage of these programs. I'll share those numbers right after this. Then we'll open up the phone line.
It matters who does your taxes, so get to Jackson Hewitt today. For eligible clients, loans by Republic Bank and Trust Company, details at jacksonhewitt.com.
This is where Montana talks. Call Aaron on the Parsec Data Management phone lines, 406-294-0970. Parsec Data Management, securing critical business IT. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, real quick, and then we'll jump right into your phone calls here, 406-294-0970. Flathead County Commissioners say free services are empowering the homeless lifestyle. That's the headline in a Montana Public Radio report. Now, the Montana Public Radio report is providing responses from at least one of these warming centers, one of these homeless shelters, giving a response to the concerns that were shared by the Flathead County Commissioners. And again, if you go to our Montana Talks website, you can see their full letter. But that these were the numbers that were shared. According to the Flathead Warming Center, 64% of people they sheltered in 2020 and 2021 lived in the Flathead for more than a year. Okay, more than a year. So that so if they're saying have lived here for more than a year, that means we don't know how many of those people are still very new to the area, right? Lived here for more than 64% of the people they sheltered lived here for more than a year. Okay, well, break down those numbers for us here. And how are you verifying this? Is it self-reporting? Is it actually documented in some way? But then they say this, and more than 40% lived in the area for more than a decade. Okay, so 40%, a little more than a 40% of the numbers that they're reporting that they say they've sheltered in this homeless facility, they say have lived in the Flathead for more than a decade. Okay, so those are the people that are local folks that have been here a long time, came upon hard times. Those are the people that a shelter like this is what the Flathead County Commissioners would talk about, are the people that we're trying to help here. But the question then, though, that the Flathead County Commissioners are raising is that are people coming into Montana, specifically in their case, the Flathead Valley, to take advantage of these programs based off of the numbers that they're using to try to say, oh, no, that's not the case. It's, you know, I don't know about you, but that to me says a massive chunk of the people that are taking advantage of this program are either relatively new to Montana and to the Flathead Valley, and then a huge chunk have not been here for more than a year. So the numbers that they shared with and I'm surprised Montana Public Radio didn't point this out, because the numbers that this shelter used to say, oh, no, most of these folks are from here, serving locals, these numbers actually show a massive chunk are either very new or brand new. Anyway, that was my take. What's yours? Anything else you want to talk about here on Montana Talks? Phone lines are open, 406-294-0970. Let's see. We got a caller first up on the phone lines. We've got Kirk out of Kalispell. Kirk, yeah, you were telling our producer something about a whistleblower complaint involving Glacier High School. What's the story there?
Yes, sir. Yep. My oldest son is a wrestler at Glacier High. He's a sophomore. And here a few weeks ago, one of his friends that had made varsity, both Cliff and him are working hard to make varsity, and his buddy had made varsity. And he, after the trip, had warned my son. He said, Cliff, if you go out and you make varsity and go out on that bus, he goes, you be careful. And he left it really vague, and so it got my curiosities going. So I had Cliff, me and him talked about it, and I was like, well, who else do you know that we might be able to talk to? Well, there's this one other feller that we knew, and Cliff went over, and he spoke to him at one of the practices. Well, what he had said was, he goes, yeah, there's T-Bolt knew that something had happened to him. He left it real vague. He said he was pretty embarrassed about what happened. And so then I waited. It took me till the next meet. I actually found the boy there. We were down in Ronan, and I went over to talk to him, and it didn't feel quite right. And I turned around and walked away. Well, ended up, I looked back, and the girl that was sitting by him, she was getting up. So I went over to him and I said, hey, you know, and his mom's a family friend and he's also a friend. And I went over to him and I said, hey, bud, what's going on with this varsity bus trip? And it was actually, last year.
And let's be careful with some of the terminology that might be somewhat inappropriate for our audience, okay, if you don't mind. Now, And also, let's be careful not to use any names, just because, you know, these, I'm assuming this is all allegations that need to be, you know, go through the whole process. So is your bottom line, is you're saying that there was kind of sexual harassment or inappropriate behavior that's taken place? Did you bring it up to the school? Yeah. What's the school doing about it, if so?
Yeah, actually, the boy confided in me what happened to him, and it was way worse than the what I'd mentioned before. And so I called his mother and told her what happened, and she broke down on the phone crying. You know, this had happened at the varsity last year, so it's been a few months, and she didn't know what was wrong with her son. They've been having
problems. So is the school investigating then? I guess what do you want to tell the public? The school's investigating or what?
Well, yeah, we turned it into the law enforcement, and they, started looking into it. But what the interesting part is now, this has been a couple weeks that
Hold that thought. We got to take a quick break here. I'll catch up with you during the break as well. Stand
by. From the Montana Legislature, I'm Eleanor Smith. The House Business and Labor Committee heard testimony on a bill Tuesday that would shorten the training required to serve alcohol. Republican Representative Scott Kearns from Great Falls sponsored House Bill 279. He said dropping training to 2 hours instead of three would give trainers plenty of time to learn required skills like how to properly ID and deny service to very inebriated customers.
Specifically trying to make sure that we don't serve kids and drunks.
John Hayes has been a certified alcohol trainer for over a decade, and he spoke in favor of the bill.
At least a third of the classes is watching videos right now. So rather than watching videos and concentrating perhaps on the actual law and the things that we need to do, I think we can get it done in 2 hours.
There were no opponents of the bill. The committee also heard bills that would allow customers to order alcohol at a drive-thru and another bill that would provide separate training for convenience store or grocery store clerks who sell alcohol. The committee did not take immediate action on the bill.
That's 800-508-6108.
All investments involve risk, including losses. Past performance does not guarantee future results.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970. We're going to keep the phone lines open for the next 2 hours here, too, so we'll have the phone lines open in the 9 o'clock hour as well. Monday and Tuesday, part of the reason why I'm leaning heavy on open phones this week is because we had a busy week last week with our live shows from the SHOT Show in Las Vegas, and we're going to kick off next week with a couple of busy shows as well because we are taking Montana Talks back to the state capitol in Helena. It's a very quick 90-day legislative session, and so we're going to do 2 days of live shows from the Montana Capitol Monday and Tuesday morning. The whole show live from the Capitol will open up the microphones just like we open up the phone lines. All right, real quick before we get to Sean in Kalispell, I chatted more with Kirk from Kalispell during the break, and you know he basically said, "Hey, there's allegations of sexual harassment or maybe even sexual assault at one of the high schools," and so I talked with him more during the break, and the concern he raised is, okay, hey, these allegations are out there, but yet in the meantime, all the kids are still there and on the teams and everything like that. And so anyway, and so I told Kirk, definitely keep us posted. At this point, we want to make sure that everybody gets treated fairly and we don't air any allegations, with names in particular at this point on the show, since we haven't had a chance to reach out to school officials or anything like that. But to keep us posted as more details become available. I do know that separate from that situation, I know, like, for example, in School District 2 in Billings, there was a case involving, and I'm not making a judgment, I don't know the details of the allegations of what was just brought up on the previous phone call, but I know, for example, like in School District 2 in Billings, one of the things they got in trouble for was you basically had a high school student who committed a rape, and yet the kid was still in school and was still walking around the school, and the victim and other people are like, what in the world is going on here? And the public hadn't been notified about it. The school officials hadn't been notified it. So it started to raise a lot of questions within the public, which is, okay, what is the obligation of these district courts here? What is the obligation of local prosecutors? What is the obligation of these judges? What is the obligation of school officials when a case like that goes through the process? And, okay, the judge may say the kid can be back out on the streets, but does that mean he should be back in the school? And so, like I say, without knowing the details of the previous caller's conversation, I know that you know that has been a question that has been raised in the Billings schools and elsewhere. All right, let's go to Sean in Kalispell, wants to weigh in on this homeless conversation. Sean, what's your thoughts? Thanks for the call.
Morning, Aaron.
Morning.
Yeah, I've lived here in the Valley for over 30 years, and just to see the changes that have happened over time, it's kind of frustrating. And I live specifically in Kalispell and notice a whole lot of new faces. You know, lots of people have moved in for sure. But specifically, the brand new, you know, walkway through the center of Kalispell is like the super highway for these vagrants. And I want to draw a clear line of distinction between people that have fallen on hard times and just become homeless and need some help and the vagrants that are, you know, shooting up, throwing their needles around, defecating in public, I mean, washing them. I can't even say it on the radio. There was some really bad stuff. I was at the Kalispell city meeting, and some people came forward with some pretty disgusting stuff that's going on with the vagrants specifically. And I think it all boils down to accountability. It's a huge accountability problem because people nowadays aren't held accountable. For example, shoplifting. You know, they know they can walk into a store, and most of these stores' policies is don't confront them, you know, because the store doesn't want the liability of their employee getting hurt. So they just let this stuff walk out the door. Well, that raises prices. You and I and the people that aren't breaking the law are the ones that pay for that stuff that walks out the door. And they're not holding anybody accountable for pretty much anything.
Yeah, especially a lot of the corporate chains. I mean, I've talked with retail clerks that work for some of these corporate chains, and you know, imagine being one of these retail clerks, and you know, you worked throughout the so-called pandemic, the first 2 to 3 months of the pandemic here in Montana, and you faced the public every day, and then all of a sudden, 3 months into it, they're like, "Now you got to wear this mask," and you're like, "What? Why? I've been here for 3 months not wearing a mask. Now you're telling me I got to wear a mask?" And then you got to sit there with that stinking mask on your face and just watch these people walk into your store, grab whatever they want, and walk out. And if you dare confront them, you get fired, right? A slap in the face on multiple fronts, right?
Right. Well, if people were held accountable for shoplifting, for defecating in public, for shooting up, I mean, these are all laws we already have that are being broken. The city council is talking about implementing new ordinances, which I completely disagree with because we don't need more laws. What is the point of putting in new ordinances if the laws that are already on the books are being broken and these people aren't being arrested because there's no room in the jail?
Yeah.
Like, that's the other problem.
Same problem in Billings and Missoula. Yeah.
Are told to not bring them in because there's nowhere for them.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we do? I mean...
By giving them all these services, they keep sticking around. They keep sticking around. Now, we can't put them in an action.
Right.
Now, the warming center can't be a jail, right? That's my question is, we don't have a warming center to keep criminals in. Well, we do, but it's not a jail. Like, if we can build these temporary shelters... why can't we build temporary jails to house these criminals in? That would be, and then if you truly are one of the local Flathead Valley people that truly comes on tough times and you actually need a homeless shelter, you're not going to be housed with a bunch of criminals because we created a temporary detention center to hold them in so you can have space in a warming center for you and your family. But see, we're being told that we're the ones who are insensitive because we don't want to let the criminals run free because we don't care about the criminal transients that are homeless. No, because we care about the truly homeless people that live in our communities, we don't want them to be sheltered alongside the interstate transient population, oftentimes it has the criminal element with it.
Exactly. Yeah, and they've been talking about building another shelter, and then there was, you know, people came from Los Angeles and now live here in Kalispell that were sharing. They came here to escape, and they've seen what these shelters end up becoming because they can't be policed all the time. So at night, it's literally a brothel where people are afraid to even be because of all the criminals housed with the people that aren't criminals.
Yeah.
I totally agree with you. And we need, in Missoula, they have a tent shelter place set up for the homeless population. It's not a jail. I think it's similar to a warming shelter. But what I think the county would be great to do is set that up specifically as a jail, a temporary jail, just like you're talking about. Well,
they did it in Arizona, right?
And hold these people accountable.
Yeah.
And it needs to be swift.
Yeah.
They get in front of the judge the day after. They need to spend a night in jail. Figure out how that's going to work.
Well, I like
in front of the judge, conviction, and off to the tent shelter for community service.
Yeah, I don't get it. Why, you know, Arizona, they had sheriffs who would build temporary detention facilities when they got overwhelmed with criminals. Why can we build temporary shelters for people, but we can't build temporary jails? And then you take the criminals out of the equation, so the truly homeless that truly came on tough times, that live here and have lived here, have a safe place to be, right? You know, you're so spot on all around there, Sean. Thanks for the phone call. Golly, you brought up another thought that I was just trying to think of, but we got more callers on the phone line here that I need to get to as well. So thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. And these whole numbers, I mean, when they report, when the warming center themselves say that basically 36% of the population has not been here for more than a year, they say that 40% lived in the area for more than a decade. Okay, so does that mean that 60% of the population has not? I mean, if I'm reading these numbers right, that's what it says to me. It backs up what these commissioners are saying. All right, 406-294-0970, the number for you. Next up, let's take you to Emigrant, Montana. Billy, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
I wanted to talk briefly about the county commissioners here in Park County. And I'm sure this is a situation all over our state. But what we have is county commissioners that sit on boards like the HRDC and these other organizations and it kind of piggybacks on what the other gentleman was just talking about, these affordable housing plans that come from Washington State and out of Oregon, and they bring them here, and we've got county commissioners that sit on these boards that help write the affordable housing plan, and then they sit on the boards that implement the plan, then they vote on the plan for approval through the county, and those powers are being used basically against the mom and pops here that have the bed and breakfast and have vacation rentals and things like that. They're kind of being forced into a situation to use their property for affordable housing, and they don't want to do that.
Interesting. But, yeah, because some places, like in Missoula, I think I read Missoula, and I wouldn't be surprised if in Park County it's the same. They're trying to punish you, the Montanan, who's been here, who wants to have an Airbnb or a, you know, VRBO, whatever, as a business opportunity, so you can put your kids through college, right? Maybe afford to pay your property taxes, and they're trying to punish you, all in the name of affordable housing, right? Hold that thought. We'll come back to you right after this. We covered a lot of ground with Tuesday's Montana Talks. We opened up the show by talking about a ban on foreign ownership of land here in Montana. And then later on, got a phone call from State Senator Ken Bogner out of Miles City. Plus, that really powerful letter from the Flathead County Commissioners on the homeless situation. What are we going to cover with Wednesday's Montana Talks? Well, you tell us, because this is the show where you get to talk and be heard all across Montana. Montana Talks, statewide, 9 to 10.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Call Aaron on the Parsec Data Management phone lines. 406-294-0970. Parsec Data Management, securing critical business IT.
Oh, man, all this talk about outsiders coming into Montana, it got me thinking of this story we've got on our Montana Talks website right now. The truth about cars with out-of-state plates in Montana. And if you read the story by Michelle in Bozeman, she basically is talking about, I had a rental car with California plates, and man, were people mean to me. Oh, man. I mean, people would like pull up next to me, get the hell out of here. And I had to kind of laugh because, like, for example, when I drive to Helena next week, sometimes when I'm driving across the state, I'll get a rental car instead of, you know, putting the miles on my own pickup, right? And I'll go get the rental car, and they'll be like, well, we got a Ford Fusion for you. How's that sound? And I said, I don't know. Let me go look at the license plates first. So go out to the parking lot. Okay, I'll take that one. Does not have California plates on it. Because, like, oh, man, I think there was an Eddie Murphy movie or something one time. And you know, if I'm in a rental car and it's got, like, you know, Washington plates and somebody gives you that look and I'm like Eddie Murphy, hey, I am not from Washington. I'm not from California. It's a rental car. And they're like, yeah, sure it is, buddy. No, I'm no joke. I will go into the parking lot of the rental car joint and I'll be like, all right, I got to see the license plates on this first. That's just how it goes right now. Let's go back to Billy in Emigrant. Billy, I know we were short on time before the break there, but did I kind of sum up what you're saying? That we're basically now, you've got, in the name of affordable housing, you've got liberal county commissioners or liberal city councils trying to take the fight to you, trying to tell you what you can and can't do on your private property. And so they're trying to basically make it, you know, take a bunch of fees to people who are trying to do Airbnbs.
Absolutely. And, you know, the bad thing about it is this county commissioner, one in particular, he says that the Montana Association of County Commissioners has approved what he can and can't do. And, for county commissioners to sit on boards that do business with the county, to me, that's wrong. And when you have county commissioners that appoint the public to serve on boards, and then that county commissioner is on that same board and looks to see how you vote, you know, then they'll turn around and remove you from that board, like public health board or any other board that they want control over. And to me, if the county, there should be some state legislation that says county commissioners cannot serve on the boards that come before them with recommendations and that the county votes on.
Interesting.
And
well,
that should be true. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a conflict of interest all the way around.
Well, and it's just sad too, because it's just a reminder that the Park County commissioners aren't what they used to be, right? And that was evident when 2020 rolled around, and they were shutting down a rodeo in Livingston, Montana. And other counties weren't shutting down their outdoor rodeos, but Park County did, because, you know, unfortunately they've turned left, and it was sad to see. All right, Billy, thanks for the call from beautiful Emigrant, Montana. Great to hear from you. And then I remembered, too, the thought that came to my mind when we were talking with Sean in Kalispell. I'll share that with you here in a second, but first let's go to Mike in Absarokee. Mike, what's on your mind?
Well, sir, I got to listen to your letter there yesterday on my way to Red Lodge.
Yeah.
And I was going over for some physical therapy, and I got done with that, and I was coming back out of town, and seen a guy about a mile out of town, and seen a guy standing there on the side of the road, and he looked like somewhat of a local. You know, he looked like a rancher or farmer or something, but he looked like he belonged in the area, and I thought he was broke down or something. I seen a pickup there behind me that had his turn signal on. He turned off, didn't give the guy a ride, so I backed up. I pulled over, I backed up, and I gave the guy a ride, and it turns out he got in the car, and he introduced himself as Nick, and then we were headed down the road, and I asked him, I said, where are you headed? And I figured that he was just headed a mile or two out of town, and he says, I'm headed for Kalispell. I said, Kalispell? He says, yeah, I I spent the night in the laundromat last night, and he was kind of put out that the police department wouldn't let him sleep in the lobby there, and he said he was homeless and he was headed for Kalispell because he heard that they had a good system for homeless people to use.
Huh. Wow.
I says, well, where are you from? And he says, well, I'm from Northern Kentucky. And I said, well, you don't sound like you're from Kentucky. And he says, well, I spent a lot of time in Wisconsin. I said, well, that's it. And I said, so what do you do? And he says, well, I'm a prep cook. And I'll be almost 60 years old. And I said, well, you're a prep cook, and you know. And as we're driving along between Red Lodge and Absarkey, he says, man, that's a really nice house. I could live there. And then he'd look over at this other one, and, I mean, these are places that people have worked for, they're paying for, they paid for, whatever.
It's one of the most beautiful drives in the country there. Luther and Roscoe, Montana, and the Grizzly Bar, and right there. I mean, in the spring, in a couple of months, it looks like Ireland with the green rolling hills right at the base of the Beartooth Mountains right there.
It does. It absolutely does, and you're absolutely right. It's a drop-dead gorgeous drive, but it was almost like that letter that you read was happening. It was almost like those county commissioners were in the backseat of my car. They watched what happened, and then they wrote the letter.
Wow. That's really interesting. So this guy, that is according to you, you pick him up on the side of the road, he slept in the laundromat. Now, my question is, does he actually want to work as a prep cook? Because I'll bet you there's a lot of restaurants in Kalispell that could use some prep cooks right now. But the fact that he said that a guy who was sleeping in, you know, who's kind of traveling across the country, sleeping in laundromats, that he heard that Kalispell is the place to go to because they got all the programs for guys like that. Yeah, right. That's interesting.
That's exactly, you were absolutely right yesterday in saying they've got it hooked up on social media, and I feel bad for them. I called the county commissioner's office up there, and I talked with the administrator, and he said that some of those commissioners up there are taking a lot of heat over that letter, and I don't think they should.
Well, I wonder who they're really taking heat from. They're taking heat from the liberal mob media. Nobody cares what the liberal mob media thinks anymore. Everyday people you talk to about this story and you share this letter from county commissioners, and everyday Montanans are like, well, they're exactly right. Spot on. Good job, Flathead County Commissioners. Oh, but you know who they get the calls from? Public radio and Lee newspapers and pick your liberal blog website. And I just want to encourage those Flathead County Commissioners. You know what? They don't like the fact that you have an R behind their name. It doesn't matter what you say or do. They will never like you. And so don't be intimidated by the liberal media mob at all. And I think these Flathead County Commissioners know it because they go out, they talk to real folks. You'll see them at Sykes having breakfast. They know what the deal is. Hey, great to hear from you. That was a very interesting story there. And you sound like an honest man, too. So I appreciate the phone call all the way from Absarkey. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. Let's see, Al in Kalispell. What's going on, Al? Oh, hold on one second. There we go. Okay, go ahead, Al.
Hey, good morning, Aaron, and thanks for having me on your show. Yeah, what's going to happen with all the grant money they used to purchase the property for the warming center if they get shut down or they don't continue their permit? I mean, is the sale money from the grant money going to go in the board of directors' pockets? Are they going to return the grant money to the federal government or whoever?
Or do they get more grant money based on having more numbers inside the shelter? Yeah, I don't know. Good questions. Hold that thought. All right. Here's the thing. The problem is that it's putting all these strains on the whole system, and some of you have a strain on your system. Achy joints. Maybe it's knee pain. Maybe it's joint pain, shoulder pain. And one problem over here creates several other problems over there. Well, what if you have an all-natural process to help deal with that pain. I'm talking about an all-natural process that uses highly concentrated healing properties from your own body that then gets put right back into your achy joints to restore and repair that damaged tissue. Well, we now have an option for you on the ground in Montana. QC Kinetics has over 100 clinics in America. They're now in Montana with regenerative solutions that can get you moving again, pain-free. Give them a call. QC Kinetics, 406-201-6263. 406-201-6263 with QC Kinetics. All right, Daryl and Kalispell, Jay and Bozeman, stand by.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Biden touting the gas price drop as Americans now struggle to make ends meet. Well, we have a little problem. Gas prices are going up, and they're going up dramatically. You know, Karine Jean-Pierre actually went out and said yesterday that, you know, as America, that Republicans want to raise gas prices. I mean, are you kidding me? Show me the evidence that backs that up. As you are tracking this week, House Republicans will vote to raise gas prices on American families. The contrast in priorities. No, the guy that just raised the price and taxed gas, oil, and coal was Joe Biden. The guy that just implemented the law to tax your pensions is Joe Biden.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
This is an important notice to consumers facing $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or other unsecured debt. You may not be required to pay it all back because there are special programs now in effect that will significantly reduce the amount you will owe if you qualify. This is not bankruptcy or a debt consolidation loan. These programs, which the credit card companies like to keep secret, exist to aid American consumers struggling with overwhelming credit card debt by offering tremendous savings and real debt relief. Accredited Debt Relief has established a special hotline for you to call and learn what savings you qualify for. They've helped qualify consumers with over $1 billion in debt and are A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau. So don't wait. Get the relief you need during these hard economic times. For this free information, call the Accredited Debt Relief Hotline now. Call 800-885-57.
Annual Montana Hunt Life Coyote Derby, benefiting the Montana Hope Project. February 17th through the 19th, ending at 1 p.m. on Sunday.
Montana is talking here. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. I told Jay and Bozeman and Daryl and Kalispell we'd get to them. And so definitely want to sneak your phone calls in here since we've just got a few minutes left here. Hopefully I can get to Chet in Belgrade as well. County Commissioner Pam Holmquist, I see, just called in on the phone lines as well. Commissioner, if you can, I'm hoping maybe you can stick around or call back in the 9 o'clock hour, and we will lead our statewide show. You know, we're pretty much statewide right now, but we got a whole bunch of other radio stations that join us in the 9 o'clock hour as well. So if you want to, if you can, we will lead the 9 o'clock hour with you. So anyway, our producer, Travis, may check in with you as well. Let's see. Daryl in Kalispell. Daryl, what's going on? What's your thoughts on this homeless situation?
Oh, well, it's kind of simple, actually. You know, the companies around town that make the temporary tool sheds and, you know, little dollhouse stuff? Why can't they spend like $25,000, $30,000, build a two-story, you know, 12 by 20 or 12 by whatever, and put a composting toilet in it, set up water supply systems, and a heating system for it with a, you know, like an Ingersoll Rand generator, and put some temporary housing around for people that qualify for getting assistance, for like mothers that don't have a home for their kids. You know, you could have two people, three people live in one of these with a loft and all that. Wouldn't be that expensive to do. There's plenty of land around here to set them on. They wouldn't be permanent. They'd be temporary. They could be moved. And, you know, you could do that. They build all these apartments, but out of the 500 apartments, only 4 to 6, maybe 10 of them go to people that are in need, that are disabled like myself. And then one other thing, I want to give a shout out to Ride On John. The guy's got some great tech. I was a draftsman for over 20 years, and I worked on the Super Collider, did all the drawings for that in Waco, and I'm trying to help him generate some interest in his ideas. There's enough geothermal around here to power the state for the next 1,000 years.
Yeah.
So somebody needs to jump on the bandwagon, get a hold of John, and let's do something instead of sit around and jawn about it.
There you go. Well, yeah, you know, it's interesting as you were describing this idea for these kind of temporary hard-sided shelters. We've got another story about the new homeless shelters in Missoula, 30 hard-sided shelters manufactured by a company called Pellet. And sounded like exactly what you were just talking about. Go to MontanaTalks.com. You'll see that photo and more. Daryl, great to hear from you. The idea, real quickly, that came to mind when we had Sean and Kalispell on the phone lines earlier is, you know, when it comes to these out-of-state transients, Cascade County Sheriff Jesse Slaughter had an idea a while back. I thought it was a good one. Why not bus passes? It seems like an affordable option, right? Send them back to Seattle or San Fran or wherever. Anyway, throw that one out there for you. Jay in Bozeman, what's your thoughts this morning?
Good morning, sir. Thanks for taking my call. Great show.
Thank you.
So I'm just the HRDC here in Bozeman. I work where I have involvement with them, with some of their clients or also my clients. And so it truly breaks my heart to see how the HRDC goes and they get these donations from these wealthy individuals here in the Gallatin Valley and elsewhere. They advertise out of state, and as a matter of fact, I've seen a flyer. I can't say it was legit, but I've seen it written in Spanish. It was supposedly brought back from Mexico, talking about Bozeman being the place to come and live because of all the construction jobs and all the housing that's available. They trap these people into poverty in this way, and it's truly disgusting. I hope one of them is listening on their board. They build or buy these low-income housing facilities like apartments, townhomes, condos, and these people are given a subsidy 3 to 18 months dependent upon which program they qualify for. What happens to the people after that time runs out is they have a job, but they can only make a certain amount of money. Hypothetically, say it's $40,000 to keep them below the poverty level.
Just about out of time here. 10 seconds to go.
Yep. Once they break that poverty level, they're removed from those homes. And so to stay in the home, they have to stay in poverty, and that's a damn.
Interesting. All right. Got to hold it there. Commissioner Holmquist.